That's right. The prayer chain, Marge is working on that, and we probably have enough names on it right now, so we're going to close that off at this time. The Lord bless you. Many of you have signed up for that, and we're very, very thankful. I think those are everything that we need for right now. I'm going to get you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. A week or two ago, our brother Jeet made a very brief announcement regarding the importance of the head covering. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about the subject of the head covering, and we thought it would be valuable just for us to take a review of that. The head covering is an interesting practice. It is practiced here at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel and in many other places. It's not terribly common in our day. 100, 150, 200 years ago, it was very common in all churches in the Western world. But the culture has changed dramatically since that time, and therefore, the head covering is not a common practice in churches in our day, and not a common practice in the world in our day. Consequently, it's not very well understood, not always understood by Christians, and certainly not always understood by the world. And therefore, we've got this unique, almost, phenomenon that we practice here at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. And so it's good for us periodically to take a look at it and to begin to understand the why we are involved in practicing the activity of the head covering. The woman wears a head covering, the man does not. Why would that be? And periodically, it's a... I guess I've already said that. Periodically, it's not very well understood, but we're going to try to and see if we can understand it a little more this morning. I'm going to get you to read with me the key verses on the subject, and then we're going to go over them very, very briefly. This is not at all an exhaustive study of the head covering. It is an introductory, almost a superficial study, but hopefully it's going to give us some understanding of what is there. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord, for as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither do the churches of God. Now, Lord, we just pray that you'll guide us and give us understanding as we look briefly at these verses, and we pray that by the grace of God, you might be honored and glorified in the meetings of the assembly here at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. And we give thanks and look to you now for help in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what are the reasons here? And very, very often, as I look at this passage, I say, now, Harold, what you want to do is you want to see if you can fit all the logic of the passage together. And frankly, I find that somewhat difficult. This morning, we're not going to take that approach. This morning, we're just going to take a very superficial approach. And we're going to give you some simple reasons just from the surface of the passage. We may refer to a little more detail, but not much because of the lack of time. But some very simple reasons why the head covering is a good thing. Here we are in verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. If those were the only verses we have, what would be the reason for the head covering? The woman wears a head covering, the man does not. What would be the reason? Well, in order to bring honor to the head. Who is the head? If you go up, it's a question of headship. There's the man, there's Christ, there's the woman, there's God. There's a four-position headship. The head of the woman is the man. The head of the man is Christ. The head of the man, Christ is God. Four positions in headship. What would be the reason for the man not wearing a head covering and the woman to wear a head covering? And the answer is that the head get honor. That's a very simple, logical reason flows from this statement. That's how we give honor to our head. And we want, who do we want to get the ultimate honor? Jesus Christ and God. They're the ones who get honor. How do we do that? The man takes his head covering off. The woman puts her head covering on. And that's the way they get honor. You say, well, that's all very good. Doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't matter if it makes sense, does it? God says that's the way we're going to give him honor. Then that's the way we give him honor. When you're a little boy, when I was a little boy, we used to do things in our house. And I would say to my mother, my father, why do we do that? And they would say, because that's the way we give honor and respect to the members of our family or to our guests when they come. And I would say, why? And they would say, Harold, that's not terribly important. That's what you're going to do. I might say, I want to do this, I want to do that. They would say, it doesn't matter what you want to do. Our guests are coming, and you are going to honor our guests, and we're going to do it this way. And if you didn't have any other reason than that, we'd all be completely delighted to follow this simple instruction. And we would say, all right, the man's going to take his head covering off. The woman's going to put her head covering on. Why? Because we want to give honor to our head. It's all very, very simple. If you go to the verse prior to that, verse 3, I guess I better just say a little more on that. Let's go back to verses 3 and 4, or 4 and 5. I'm not sure what they are. 4 and 5. In other parts of the world, it's not as simple as this. So if you were to go, for example, to the Middle East, you would find that a man, when he worships, has his head covered. That is in non-biblical worship. It was a very difficult thing for a man to take a head covering off in the Middle East. It's a difficult thing often in the Western world for a woman to put a head covering on. Culture changes, but the principles do not change. All right, back to verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And so I took a look at that and I said, Harold, what does that mean? And some people say, well, you know, it's not fair because it teaches that the man is superior to the woman. And as a matter of fact, that is not the teaching. And we know it's not the teaching, because there's four positions in the hierarchy, if I can call that. The head of Christ is God. Which one is the senior position? Which one is the superior being, God or Christ? And the answer is they're both equal. And if Christ and God are equal, then who is superior regarding the man and the woman? And the answer is they're equal. This is not an issue of superiority or inferiority. Verse 3 would teach us that the issue is one of humility. And the Lord humbled himself. We read those verses this morning. The Lord humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a bondservant. And so we practice humility before the Lord by practicing humility toward one another. And the sign of that humility, whether the world understands it or not, doesn't terribly matter. The sign of that humility is the head covering. The Lord says, you do that. And you, if you do that, it will bring proper honor, and it will be a sign of humility. Verse 6 is interesting. It says, if the woman be not covered, let her be also shorn. If it be a shame for a man, if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. There is a question of shame here associated with honor. And I'm not sure, and we're not going to go into all the details of the shame there this morning, but there's honor or shame in it all. Maybe I can just explain. I better wait till we get to the glory section to explain that. Verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. So when we get together, our objective is to bring glory. But to whom is our objective to bring glory? We want to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the man is the glory of God. Okay? So, how does the man give God glory? He takes his head covering off. How does a woman give God glory? She puts her head covering on. That's God's order. That's God's message. We may not instinctively understand all the detail of that, but that's what God says. And so we simply say, all right, we want God to get the glory from the meeting. So the man takes his head covering off and the woman puts her head covering on. And that's what it's all about. There's maybe just a little bit behind that that we could add. And it goes something like this. That if you read in the Old Testament, the people of God, the men of God, worshiped with their head covering on. And when they got to the New Testament, they worshiped with their head covering off. And frankly, that was a big problem. They had to get used to the change. And some people have difficulty doing that. Why? And the answer is that in the Old Testament, the man's head covering is associated with the shame of the fact that his sins have not been forgiven. Okay? And if your sins aren't forgiven, man, put your head covering on because you're ashamed. But if your sins have been forgiven, you take your head covering off. And if you take the head covering off, the glory goes up to the Lord. And that's very, very exciting. And when you get saved, you take your head covering off. You say, this is absolutely marvelous. So why does a woman put a head covering on? Isn't she just as saved as the man? And the answer is yes. But you see, a woman's hair is given to her for her glory. And a woman's hair is her glory. That's part of the passage. And so what does a woman put a head covering on for? To cover her glory. Why does she cover her glory? So that the glory can go up to the Savior. If she has her head uncovered, she has all her beautiful glory in her head and her covering, and because she is the glory of the man, she gets glory, the man gets glory. But if she puts a head covering on, she covers her glory, therefore she doesn't get the glory, and her husband, the man, doesn't get the glory. So who gets the glory? The Lord Jesus. So what's the logic? The logic is that the woman puts her head covering on, the man takes her head covering off, so that God gets all the glory. So have I given you a few reasons here? One is humility. We do this because we want to be humble before the Lord and Him get the glory. It's we do it because we want Him to get the glory. We do it because we don't want shame. And in verse 7, again, back to honor and glory. In verses 8 and 9, you get some other aspects here. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. There is a priority in the purpose of God. And it's true that the woman was made for the man. Is that important in our day? Are they not both equal? And the answer is yes. But if the woman was created for the man, what is that a picture of in the Bible? The fact that all men and women were created for the Lord Jesus. That's the picture. He's the wonderful bridegroom. He's the Lord. We are just His people. He is the first, He is the last Adam. He was like Adam. We're like Eve. We were created for Him. And so there is a priority of purpose. And the priority of purpose is illustrated in the fact that the man without a head covering on is a picture of Christ. And the woman with the head covering on is a picture of the church. Okay, now we're not going into all of these details, but you can see that there are some simple reasons why this is why we do this. You can also see that this is logic that is not fully understood by the man on the street. And frankly, very often not fully understood by the people in the pew in the churches. But it is there, and it is important. The next line is verse 10. It says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. You say, well, what have the angels got to do with it? And the answer is not terribly much in the sense that there's not a big discussion of it. But the angels are brought in here so that we will get another reason why we do it. Why do we do it? Because the angels are looking. Okay? And you say, but I don't see the angels. And what does it mean to the angels anyway? And you don't know an angel, and I don't know the angels, and I don't know all the things that they're learning. I do know the scripture says that they have their eyes on the church, and they're learning about the wonders of God, watching the church. All we know in this verse is the angels are watching. Okay, what do you want to do? Well, you want to teach the angels whatever you can, don't you? When you get to heaven, you're going to judge the angels. And so you want to make good friends with them now because you're going to be their boss one day. And the angels are watching. And because the angels are watching, you say, all right, the angels are watching. I'm going to do what God asked because the angels are watching. Verses 11 and 12 go on. And they say, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord, for the woman is of the man, even so the man is by the woman, but in all things we're of God. All of which means that there is a priority, that there is a mutual dependence, mutual interdependence. And we show our mutual respect for one another by the man taking his head covering off and the woman putting her head covering on. Mutual respect. That's very, very important. You remember, don't you, the story, sad story, of Pierre Trudeau, who went to visit the Queen. When you go to visit the Queen, you follow the outline of respect that is for the Queen, and you dress appropriately, and you behave, you say this, and you do a number of things just out of respect for the Queen. And when Pierre Trudeau was there many, many years ago, he did everything according to Hoyle, and everything was just perfect. And when it was all over, he went behind the Queen, and he did a pirouette, a little mimicking, mocking dance, which said, "I went through the outward performance, but I want you to know, Mrs. Queen, I don't respect you." What a tragedy. And the head covering, as we practice it, is practiced out of mutual respect. We respect the Lord, we respect one another. The man puts the head covering off, the woman puts it on. It's all a sign of mutual respect. Verses 13 goes on, and it says, "Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a woman have long hair, it's a shame unto him? If a man have long hair, rather, it's a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it's her glory, for her hair is given her for a covering." And so there's another reason here, the complexity of which is a little greater than we can go into, but it is a picture of natural comeliness. He says that nature itself teaches you that it's foolish for a woman to pray uncovered and a man to pray with his head covered. Is this important? Yeah, it is important, actually. Some of us are going to go to Israel. And when you get to Israel, you get to go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And the Wailing Wall is very, very interesting because that is supposed to be, according to the Jewish people, that's the place where your prayers are most going to be answered, in the Wailing Wall. And so you go to the Wailing Wall, and what are you going to do when you get there? Well, when I was there, I said, "I'm going to the Wailing Wall, I think I'm going to pray." So I took my head covering off. And I wasn't there very long before there was a tap on my shoulder, and it was Mr. Guard. And he said, "Sir, you put your head covering on, or you're not going to be here." I thought, what? Yes, that's how important it is. The man must wear a head covering when he goes to the Wailing Wall. Why? Because it's important to the Jew that it be done that way. Okay, we go the other way around. We say, no, my sins are forgiven. And I felt like preaching it to the guard, but I didn't know that he didn't think he'd understand. And he'd have to listen to me for a long time before I could explain it all to him. But yeah, I take my head covering off because my sins are forgiven. He says, "You put your head covering on because that's the way the law of the Wailing Wall works. You must have your head covering on at the Wailing Wall and on Mount Zion to the south of the Wailing Wall," and so on. There is a natural comeliness associated with the woman having her head covering on and the man not. I want to go back to the first two verses. And the first two verses go like this: "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I delivered them to you." We have for one another a mutual respect. It's very interesting that Jeet made a brief point of announcing this the other day, and some of you said, "Okay, I guess I better put it on." I think they did it, you did it, out of respect for Jeet Bhatti. Is that important? Yeah, that's important. We respect one another. When I was in Singapore, actually, we had a little Bible study on this with some of the ladies, and the lady said this. She said, "You know, it's interesting, when I first came to this assembly," she said, "I put a head covering on because I was told to." And then when we when I went on, I learned why. I read 1 Corinthians 11, learned why, and she says, "Now I put a head covering on out of conviction." I thought to myself, there's two very, very good reasons, aren't they? What a wonderful thing. The Lord says, you know the requirements. I shouldn't call them requirements. You know the Lord's request. This is the Lord's order. This is the Lord's pattern. It's a question of headship. He must get the glory. He must be the head. And we say, "All right, Lord, that's fine. We're just going to follow that." Does the Lord rejoice in obedience? Can I just repeat one story? I think I've told it to you before, but it is interesting. And what about the angels in all this? And when I was in Malaysia some time ago, I met Charles Lingham, who told me the story about himself and Ramalingam, and then I confirmed it with Ramalingam. But it goes like this, that there was a particular woman, a particular girl in a household, and she was oppressed by the evil one. And Charles Lingham went along and spent some time praying with her, trying to get her clear from the power of the evil one. And then Ramalingam came along, and the two of them were praying. And finally, one of them said to the teenage girl, he said, "Listen, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord?" She said, "Yes, I do." "Well," they said, "if Jesus Christ is Lord, why don't you put a head covering on and we'll pray again?" She said, "All right, I'll do that." She put a head covering on, prayed again. And a few moments after that, she said, "I'm tired, I want to go to bed." And she went to bed, and she was completely delivered. I checked about her recently. She serves in the administration team of a Bible camp in the Gunting Highlands up in Malaysia. She's a wonderful woman of God. And what happened? Somehow the devil recognized not only the fact that the angels take a look, but he took a look. And he said, "I've observed, I'm going to back off." It's simple. It's God's order. The Lord says, "Listen, this is how you can give me honor, respect, glory." We say, "If it's that easy, that's what I'm going to do." Now, our culture has changed, and it's easy for us. But it's not that easy for culture, because our culture, though it followed these patterns 100, 150 years ago, our culture has changed. And in for many respects, our culture has changed in that the woman, the feminists in our world, have said that the head covering is a sign of inferiority, and we will not have that, and they rise in opposition to it. And that's a very disappointing thing. We say we're not terribly concerned about the culture of the world. We are concerned about pleasing our Savior. We are concerned about showing mutual respect one to another. God says, "How do you do that?" Well, you do that in any number of ways, but this is one way you do it. The man takes his head covering off. The woman puts her head covering off. We say, "Thanks, Lord. That's what we're going to do." Lord, we want to thank you for giving us visible signs. And we know that the work of God is a work of the heart. And the fact is, Lord, that we can't see one another's heart. You can. You understand what it's all about. But even you have said that when you see these signs, these outward signs of the head covering, you've said that is important to you. And so, Lord, we would be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in our hearts, but in our signs, not just in our signs, but in our hearts. Lord, we want to follow you. We thank you for the privilege of being part of the family of God. And in this wonderful family, Lord, we have privileges and responsibilities. We thank you for them all. And we just pray that you will bless us as we would seek to follow you. Help us to follow you, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.